Happy New Year, Eighth of Creek. Yeah. You guys look ready to roll. Man, it's great. Let's all stand together. Come on in. Let's get this started. Wow. 2026 is just less than an hour away now, which is amazing. Well, you know, what I love about New Year's is it reminds me of the newness of life that Christ gives us. Behold, he makes all things what? New. That's so cool. And I'm really glad that the Lord does that for us. And we're here just to celebrate Christ, bring in the new year. What better way through prayer, worship, time in the Word? You know, some of the world is out swinging down the brews and partying down and probably going to be embarrassed by the morning and do things they'll regret and bring in the new year in a kind of a bummer way. Not you guys, man. We're bringing it in right. We're going to spend time with the Lord Jesus Christ right here. Yeah, isn't that awesome? That's so cool. Yes. You know, tonight I'm going to encourage us in the Word about how to spend the new year and maybe some ideas for you. But one idea that really I'm going to tap into is to more cognitively, actively enjoy and think about God's goodness and spend time in his presence. And we're gonna do some songs right now. I'm gonna have the band just lead us in several songs. And you have an option right now. You can stand and listen and kind of go, is that guitar in tune? Or I like that beat. Or Brooke is a beautiful girl. And yeah, I'm a little partial. My daughter. Or whatever you're thinking, don't think about that stuff. I like embarrassing my kids too. But you know, if you think about the songs we're singing and the lyrics about it, man, your heart will be filled and you will, like, it's actively praising the Lord. That's what I want to encourage you to do tonight. Are you guys game for that? Yes, good, good. Lord, we pray blessing on this evening. May you be right here at the center of all of our affection, our attention. May these worship songs be a pleasing, sweet savor offering to you, Lord. So we give this night to you and pray blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's worship together.
There's honey in the rock, water in the stone, manna on the ground, no matter where I go. I don't need to worry now that I know everything I need you've got. Honey in the rock. Praying for a miracle, thirsty for a living will. Only you can satisfy sweetness. The mercy seat, now I've tasted. It's not hard to see. Only you can satisfy. There's honey in the rock, water in the stone, manna on the ground. No matter where I go, I don't need to worry now that I know everything I need. You got is honey in the rock. trust in you, Jesus. Oh, how sweet it is to trust in you, Jesus.
Thank you.
Nothing I can do or say could make your love for me change. No place I can run and hide that you won't be right by my side. Because your love never fails. It's great. Grace that's greater than all I see. Nothing I can do. Nothing I can do or say could make your love for me change. There's no place I could run and hide that you won't be right by my side. Your love never fails. It's grace, grace, God's grace. It's grace that's greater than all our sin. It's grace.
Why would he fail now? He won't.
Yes, Lord, it's true. You've never failed us. You've always been faithful. Lord, not one time have we ever seen your word be that which could be doubted. But Lord, every single time you come through, you never fail us, you never leave us, you never forsake us. How glad we are that we have a trustworthy God and a Father in heaven that loves us. And now, Lord, we pray that you just help us to tune into you and just enjoy the relationship that we have with you as we spend this New Year's Eve just in your presence, here with your people. Bless this time, sharpen our minds in this evening hour that we might be receptive to the truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Why don't you have a seat and let's get to it. I've got a little thing I'd like to share, not a long teaching. I know that's a rare thing for me, but we've got a time frame tonight. Got to count in the new year and stuff. But I have some things I'd like to do, share a little challenge for you, along with some prayer time. We got some things to do. But, New Year's always invites the New Year's resolution. That's January 1st. Everybody makes it New Year's Day. It's a big deal. Everybody changes what they do and stuff. A lot of people do. But do you guys know what January 9th is officially? Prophecy update, yes. That's good. But no, it's a holiday in and of itself, January 9th. It's called Quitter's Day. In 2019, extensive research was conducted by Strava, a social network for athletes. It was found that approximately 80% of the people who made New Year's resolutions have tapped out by the second week of January on the Friday. That's Friday the 9th this year. making deductions from 800 million user-logged activities in the last years, Strava even went on to predict that the second Friday of January was the fateful day when motivations of most quitters began to decline. The main area of focus of these resolutions tended toward involving exercise, eating habits, weight loss. One of the major problems with achieving New Year's resolutions is those that set them the study said they tend to just be overambitious, too much for people to make it happen. So this is the time of year you see gym memberships spike, people start drinking green juice and the sales skyrocket, treadmills get dusted off, salad becomes a food group again, at least till January 9th. So January 1st, you're saying, I'm becoming a new person. By January 9th, you're like, I'm back as the old person. So that's kind of the way it tends to go. New Year's resolutions aren't bad. In fact, they can be helpful. I know it's kind of fun because I've set New Year's resolutions before and failed. And most of the time, the big ones, you tend to fail somewhere along the way. But last January 1st, I decided I was just going to drop some weight. And so it's one of the things I can say, I look back on a year, I did cheat a few times, but not that much. You might say, well, Brett, you're going to talk about New Year's resolutions because you had a successful year. And I really did. I still have a little ways to go, but I'm really happy. It's like one of the few times I can look back and go, check. I've lost 160 pounds. And thank you. By the way, not only me, but a bunch of people on our staff. Our staff has lost over 3,200 pounds. Church staff. Yeah, that's pretty cool. Now, some of you are already like, okay, I'll make my resolution about getting in shape. Pastor Brett, I used to like you when you were chubby. here's the thing. I want to tell you, resolutions aren't bad, but here's the problem. They often start with the idea that somehow God won't be pleased with us unless we improve or fix the problems. But is God pleased with you even when you're messed up and tweaked out? You better believe it. Resolutions aren't bad, but they assume the answer often is inside of us when the gospel reminds us our answer is always Jesus Christ. See, when you make a resolution to say, I'm going to do it by willpower and pulling myself up by your bootstraps, be ready to be disappointed because your bootstraps break. They don't always pull up right. When we fail at resolutions, we often feel like we failed God somehow. That's what happens when you break your New Year's resolution. New Year's resolutions aren't bad, but most of them expire faster than the milk in your fridge. Like it's literally setting yourself up to fail. They can make January all about trying instead of trusting. That's the thing. I think one of the secrets maybe is not, you know, more about what you should do, but to just enjoy and trust the Lord. We just sang that song, He will never fail. He won't fail us. He doesn't fail us. You will fail this year. Newsflash, 2026, you're gonna make mistakes. You know, it's an interesting thing where when we look for righteousness in our own lives, that's unrighteousness in and of itself, to look for righteousness. It's a funny thing, it's a slippery slope. I wonder if tonight, maybe some of us, perhaps, need to shift from do more in 2026 to just enjoy God's grace. Brett, are you saying you're just a license to keep sinning with gluttony or sinning with, some addiction or sinning? I'm not ever making that argument. I know some people try to make it out when I talk about God's grace, but truthfully, it's biblical for you and for me to just enjoy God's grace. This is really the foundation of the gospel. In fact, one thing that I like to remind us of is John 19:30, where it says this. It says, when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Tetelestai is the word there, which is an accounting term, paid in full, done. Account, balanced perfectly now. Jesus said, it is finished. Jesus didn't say, I've done my part, now you finish it. That's not what he declared from the cross. He said, it is finished. What is it? The it there is salvation, forgiveness of sin. The mistakes that you're gonna make in 2026, Jesus died on the cross for those same sins. It is finished on the cross. And this is an important thing. Well, Brett, again, you're making a license to just send it up in 20. No. It's the Lord's goodness that leads men to repentance. That's what a lot of these people that say, oh, cheap grace, they tend to forget that grace is not cheap. It came at a huge price, Jesus dying on the cross. But it's the grace of God. It's the goodness of God. It's his kindness that leads men and women to repentance. And repentance is where I think success begins. You stop doing the stuff that you're locked in doing. It's not, I've done my part, now do yours, Jesus on the cross. Jesus didn't even say, now it is begun. That's the way a lot of Christians handle it. Jesus died on the cross. Now I guess I better begin cleaning up my act and doing this or that. And we kind of look at it wrongly. But he says, it is finished, paid in full. Christianity does not begin with a to-do list. That's important for you to understand. It really begins with a done for you list. Would you rather have a to-do list or a done for you list? That sounds pretty good to me. Jesus died on the cross for me, for my sins, and for yours as well. Such an important thing. There's a few reminders for 2026 I wanna make about this and maybe try to nudge us away from this year making a bunch of New Year's resolutions. You can do it if you want to, but I wanna give you a couple reminders. Number one, don't work for God's approval, work from it. Whenever you're trying to be successful in changing your life or doing something, don't work for God's approval, you work from it. See, you already have it. You already have God's approval. God loves you. He chose you before the foundations of the world. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3-7 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Boy, don't you love that? That we should be holy. That means lacking for nothing. How should we be lacking for nothing? Be tough, stronger in 2026. Be better, be tougher, stick to it. Or is it the fact that we're chosen in him before the foundation of the world, before you were even a thought in this world? You were chosen. And what would make us holy? The fact that we've been chosen by him, we should be holy without blame before him in love. And then it goes on. The next verse goes on. It says this, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Before you were even born, he predestinated you to be accepted in the beloved. Now, we know that how that happens. It happens because Jesus died on the cross and said, it is finished. That makes you acceptable before God. It's a done deal. It is finished. Verse 7, we're acceptable in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Can I just say, God is not more in love with the future improved version of you? God loved you with an everlasting love, a perfect love in the very tweaked version of you, the 2025 version. God loves you, you know. Now, this is where teachings start to go awry. When pastors, teachers, women's groups, particularly women's teachers out there, you're enough, you're enough. Stupid, that's dumb. You are not enough and you never will be enough. Practically, that's the truth. But what happens, what I'm talking about is the God saves us from our sins. Like it says, through this blood, the forgiveness of sins. That's what makes us acceptable before God, accepted in the beloved. It's because he was enough. He was enough. So therefore you are accepted by God the Father, which is the most glorious thing I can think of. God is not more in love with the future improved version. He isn't waiting on your resolution list to decide how he feels about you. The reason I say that is I've even wrestled with that, thinking, man, I'm pretty sure I'm not pleasing to God because I've failed in A, B, C, or D. But that's not really the way the Lord looks at it. According to the scripture, you're already, if you're a chosen, adopted son or daughter of God, how do we know if that's happened? Well, if you're saved, if you've accepted Christ, we know God chose you before you chose him. Now, if you're not a Christian tonight, we don't know. How will we know if you're saved or a Christian or he chose you? We don't know until you accept Christ and repent of your sins and believe that Jesus died on the cross and rose from the grave. Then you're accepted and beloved. We'll know you're chosen before the foundation of the world. But I don't know if I know the math of that working out. It doesn't work out. It's God. He's bigger than math. But all that to say, I think we forget that God loves us. We're his children. And you moms and dads know how that is. You love your children, even though they're not perfect or they're flawed. It's funny. Parents put, Deb and I did it too. We put all the kids' artwork up on the fridge in the kitchen from the earliest age. And some of that artwork, the rest of the world might say, well, that's not that good. But when you're a parent, you don't look at it that way. Let me show you some of my kids' artwork. I already embarrassed Brookie and Joey this time. I think I'll do it further. Are you guys ready for more embarrassment of my children? Brooke's going, oh, great. Here's Brooke's angel that she made when she was six. She was six. We hang this angel on our tree every year. This is an angel she made. I think she did this was it in Sunday school? I think it was in Sunday school here at Athey Creek. She made this angel and she was probably six, I think. And it's a pretty nice looking angel. And we loved it. Deb and I, when we got that angel, we just thought it was the sweetest thing. And to this day, we have a special place where we hang this little angel on our tree. It just reminds us of little six-year-old Brookie. And it's just so cool. Brooke, do I still just go, when she does little art things, do I hang it up on the, well, not really. But I have to say, do I love Brooke more now where she's at in her life? Or because now she's gone much further than 6 years old, her aptitude is up just a smidge from there. How much of a smidge? Well, so this last year she graduated from Liberty University with her master's degree. She truly is one of the smartest people I know, and she's on our executive team. She and everybody who's on staff has affirmed, Brett, your daughter is gifted in the area of just organization, leadership, on the executive team, just really helpful for Athey Creek. You guys have no idea how much. Singing up here is what she does just for fun. She's been the director of comms team, production, now the business office, all those things. She's been so good at those things. I'm proud of her. And what's cool with her being on the executive team, it's great. I got to just say, I love nepotism, and if you don't like it, tough bananas. Having my family on the team. Now, I've never hired my family. I never gave my family raises. It's always been people in the church saying, why isn't Brooke already on the staff? Why isn't she already on this team? You know, same with all my kids. I've never hired them personally. It was always other people saying, well, do you guys want to see Joey's angel? Same year, only Joey, I think, was 3.5 or 4 when he made his. But he did a pretty good job. Here's Joey's angel. Not quite as dialed as Brooks at 6, but this looks like an angry angel. Maybe a fallen angel. I don't know, but you know what? When we got this from Joey at 4 or whatever, 3.5, 4, it was touching, awesome. We loved it. Do I love Joey more now that he's more accomplished? And has done more things in life. I think I've just grown to really appreciate my kids, all my kids, you know, just how they've grown and love Jesus and are following after the Lord. But I can't say that I love him more than I loved him when he brought this little angel home. Yeah, but Brett, look, the angel's angry and, one hand's longer than the other and it's not exactly perfect and stuff. Yeah, whatever, when you're a parent, you're not looking at that. Now, I'm proud of Joey. You know, Joey got his black belt in jiu-jitsu, which if you know jiu-jitsu at Impact, that's not an easy task. That's a big deal. A lot of work and stuff and a lot of rolling around with stinky dudes on a floor. But that's why I don't do jiu-jitsu. But he's a father and a husband with little Bo, my grandson. I'm just so proud of Joey and his leadership. You know, he leads the worship team. He's the worship director here at AFI. He's on our leadership team, one of our pastor elder guys here, which is so cool. As the worship director, I love what he does, but I think for me, one of my joys is when I get to play along with Joey. That's always fun. This is a couple Christmases back when we got to play together some tunes and stuff. I'm so proud of all my kids and what they do, but my love for them is constant and steady. It's the way the Lord is. Casey, here's Casey's angel. I think Casey was like 2.5. But notice her hands are on the equal plane. They're level. This one has like a mustache or half of one. Casey was just a little whippersnapper when she made this one. But like my other kids, man, Casey is, she's kind of one of those overachievers, if you ask me. She's so talented. She graduated from Corbin University as a teacher. She, quite a few years ago, graduated with her master's degree from George Fox. Yes, my kids went to George Fox, but we won't talk about that. Some of the departments at George Fox are outstanding and really good. Casey was teaching public school for a long time. She's fourth grade is where she started, then fifth grade, and she was teaching public school. And one of the best teachers, I'm a teacher. I graduated with a teaching credential and degree, so I have a love for that kind of thing. But I was successful largely because some of my team was saying, Brett, you know, one of my great admins I had last year resigned and is doing some different things now. So I was kind of like, what am I going to do? Well, it was really cool because my team's like, you got to get Casey out of the public school and helping you with your schedule. Your schedule's nuts. You're busy and there's a lot going on with the church. And so earlier this year, not long before the crusade, Casey came on my team. She's my admin and she is a busy girl. And you know who's good at admin is school teachers. They're the organized ones, you know. Anyway, I'm already over time on this segment because my point is, do I love my kids more when they achieve great things or do great things? I honestly say no. It warms my heart. It does bring me joy when I see my kids walking with the Lord, serving hard and working hard and doing great things. It does bring me joy, I will say that. But my love for them is immovable. This year, instead of asking, how can I impress God? Maybe you should ask the question, how can I enjoy God? How can I enjoy that personal relationship with God? How can I appreciate his grace? Well, this brings us to point number two. Enjoy the good things God has already done. Psalm 103, verse 2 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." You know, has God forgiven you of your sins? That's a benefit. Has he sustained you through life? Well, kind of. No, you're here. You're alive. God has sustained you. Has he seen you through the valleys? Has he encouraged your soul from time to time? Think of all that God has done for you. And this is what we really should bask in. Don't forget all of his benefits. That's important. Gratitude fuels joy more than striving ever will. I just say that. Well, number three on the list, God invites you to enjoy him, not just serve him. This is one thing. Some of you might have a New Year's resolution to say, well, I need to serve the Lord more. I need to volunteer harder or more at Athey Creek, things to do, or serve the community or whatever your New Year's resolution. But God in his word doesn't just want you to serve him. I think maybe even before you serve him, you should learn to enjoy him. That's a hugely important thing. In fact, most of us learn to serve God long before we learned how to enjoy God. We know how to volunteer, we know how to show up, we know how to work hard, do our part, and that's all good. But somewhere along the line, we can accidentally begin to think God values me because I serve him. But God values you long before you ever served him. Do you understand that? That's important. Psalm 37:4 says, "Delight thyself in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of your heart." This is not a commandment to try harder. It's an invitation. Delight yourself in the Lord, and then he'll take care of all the rest. He'll give you the desires of your heart. But you start with delighting the Lord, not I got to do more, be more, take pleasure, take more pressure and do more. That's not the way. We run to him to serve him because he is our joy. John 15:9, "As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love." This is a challenge from the word that you and I in 2026 say, I'm going to continue in my love for God? No. You and I should continue life in his love for us. As the Father has loved me, Jesus said, so I have loved you. How does the Father love Jesus? This is my only begotten Son in whom I am well pleased. Here's my Son, my beloved Son, Jesus was called by the Father in heaven. Jesus doesn't say, continue in thy effort, or continue thee in thy guilt, or continue thee in thy performance. He says, no, continue in my love, which is the same kind of love God the Father has for Jesus. That's the love that he has for you. Continue in my love. Stay there, live there, abide there is where you should be in 2026. With all that said, that brings us to number four on our list of things to think about 2026. And that is, rest is not laziness. Resting in God's goodness, his grace, and his love, it's not laziness, it's actual worship. Sometimes we think resting means we're being unproductive or irresponsible, but in God's kingdom, laziness isn't what rest is, but it's just saying, I'm just gonna trust in the Lord that he's got this. When we trust God through rest, it actually becomes kind of an act of worship. That's important. Matthew 11:28-30, Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. You shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy, my burden is light." When Jesus says this, he wasn't inviting us to laziness. He was inviting us to just rest. And that means really to worship him. Hebrews 4:10-11. Says, "For he that has entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief." Sometimes your New Year's resolution might be an example of unbelief rather than just resting in the Lord. Religion says, try harder, do more. Jesus says, come to me and rest. This is kind of a beautiful thing to think about when we talk about New Year's Eve and New Year's resolution. In 2026, here's a beautiful reminder, really, of what I'm talking about. 2 Peter 3:18 says this, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Grow in getting in shape? Nope. Grow in doing more, being more, serving more, trying harder? Nope. But grow in the grace and the knowledge. That means to know the Lord personally and the Savior, Jesus Christ, to him be glory. See, if you and I go to the end of the year and say, look, I did all my resolutions, then we get the glory. But if this year says we're gonna make enjoying the Lord, trusting in him, resting in him, all the other stuff will fall into place. But we actually realize grace, we need to grow in grace. Sometimes people think grace is the doorway. No, grace is the whole house. Grace is the whole deal. So when we review these points, simply this, you don't work for God's approval, you work from it. Enjoy the good things God has already done in 2026. God invites you to enjoy him, not just to serve him. Serving's great, but enjoying him is the priority. Rest is not laziness, it's worship. This year doesn't need to be about you becoming a newer, shinier version of you. Maybe it just means walking closer with the Lord, resting in his goodness, enjoying God who already delights in you and already loves you, to stop living like love has to be earned and begin living like grace is actually true. And if we delight ourselves in the Lord, we'll simply continue in his love. That's my challenge. That's the charge for 2026, something to think about. What I'd like to do is have the band come out and they're going to lead us in some worship, just another song. And then I'm going to have some time where a couple of the pastors are going to come out and pray. But would you just seek the Lord right now as the band leads us in this? You can sing along, but also ask yourself, what Brett just shared, what does that mean for me personally? What am I going to do differently in 2026? And make sure it's not, I'm going to do. How am I going to bask and rest? How am I going to draw near just to him without putting more burden on myself, but actually just enjoying the Lord? Let's do that. Why don't you just pray with me? Lord, as we continue to seek your face, I pray that we would have a heart to be sensitive how we can just draw near to you, rest in you, not put more unnecessary burdens on ourselves than you want to put on us. But Lord, help us to just enjoy our relationship with you as our Father in heaven. Just bless, we pray, in Jesus' name.
Take these hands, I know they're empty, but with you they can be used for beauty in your perfect plan. All I am is yours. Take these feet, I know they stumble, but you use the weak, you use the humble, so please use me. All I am is yours. I give you all my life, I'm letting it go. My own, all I am is yours, all I am is yours. Take these feet, I know they stumble, but you use the weak, you use the humble, God, so please use me. All I am is yours, I give you all my life. I give you all my life, I'm letting it go, a living sacrifice. No longer my own, all I am is yours, all I am is. I give you everything, to you I belong. Every beat of my heart, the breath in my lungs, all I am is yours, all I am.
At this time, I'm going to have Pastor Tad, Pastor James, Pastor David come up and lead us in prayer. Let's all stand together. And, let's, before we count down the new year, I think it'd be good just to pray and ask the Lord's blessing on this coming year. Pray in some of this stuff that we just talked about. So let's go ahead and do that. Why don't you join us in prayer? By the way, the Bible says praying in words that people can say amen to, 1 Corinthians 14. Don't be afraid to agree audibly in prayer as the pastors lead us in prayer right now. Let's pray together.
Lord, we are so thankful that we can be yours, Lord, that you want us, that you accept us in the beloved.
Yes.
And Lord, we're so thankful that we don't have to perform or be really active or really amazing or really anything other than who you've made us to be, and to just love you and to be obedient to you. And so, Lord, we're really thankful that you accept us. Lord, we ask that you would help us. I'm just thinking about the Apostle John when he was leaning on your breast there on the that Last Supper, and that he was that close to you and that relaxed with you. Lord, may we be like that as well.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you so much, Jesus, that you've been so good and so faithful to us. Thank you that we tonight can say along with the psalmist, praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. As we look back, God, we recognize you've never failed us. You've been so good. And we know that as we look forward, we don't know exactly what's going to happen, but we do know that you know, and that you have perfect plans for us. Plans to prosper us and not to harm us, plans to give us a future and a hope. So we just welcome you and your will, your plans, your ways, Lord, not ours.
Yes.
We love you, Jesus. We praise you for this opportunity to worship, to reflect, as well as to look forward to what you're going to do. And we just pray your will would be done. Thank you so much, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Father, as we think back to this last year, for every decision we made that was good or in line with what you would have for us, there are countless others where we totally blew it. Lord, we have been faithless when we're honest with ourselves. We're not trustworthy, but you, in fact, are. God, you are faithful. Your love never ends. Even as Lamentations tells us, God, your mercies are new, not just at the beginning of 2026, not just at the beginning of each month or the beginning of each week, but the author there writes that your mercies are new every morning. And we confess, God, that we as a people are so in need of your constant grace and mercy. We haven't earned it or deserved it. In fact, we've done the opposite, but you have never let us down, and we are confident that you never will. And we see the things that are going on around us in the world, and there are times where we fall into fear, but we can walk confidently into 2026, not because of our ability to perform, but because of your track record. God, you are faithful. You will carry us through. You know what's going to happen, and you will equip us. So, God, I pray that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit and help us to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus Christ in 2026.
Amen.
Lord, we thank you and praise you for your faithfulness.
Yes,
Lord. I lift my hands up, God, I surrender all that I am for your glory, your honor, your fame. I lift my hands up, God, I surrender to you. Oh, I lift my hands up, God, I surrender all that I am for your glory, your honor, your fame. I lift my hands up, God, I surrender to you.
I give you my life.
I give you all my life. I'm letting it go. A living sacrifice. No longer my own. All I am is yours. All I am is.
I give you everything.
Everything to you I belong. Every beat in my heart. The breath in my lungs. All I am is. All I'm letting soul a living sacrifice. No longer my own, all I am is yours. All I am is yours. I give you everything. To you I belong. Every beat of my heart, the breath in my lungs. All I am is yours. All I am is yours.
And Lord, how thankful we are that we can approach 2026 with anticipation. Lord, I pray that we would, like the early church, have that word on the tip of our tongues, Maranatha, even as we read on Wednesday night, that you would come quickly. Lord, if you would come in 2026, we'd be blessed. But at the same time, if you don't, I pray you'd find us here at Eighth of Creek just walking with you, knowing you personally, being worshipers, drawing near. Lord, I pray that we would, each one of us would find moments where nobody's looking, where we'd be singing songs of praise to you. That when we offer prayer in 2026, that we don't have to be in a crowd or a group, but just alone with you, Lord, I pray that we draw near to you personally. As we see what's going on in the world, Lord, we see potential catastrophe. Wars and rumors of war, even as your son told us. We see that. We see conflict and problems. We see possible economic crisis and all these various troubles. And in many ways, it looks like the world is falling apart. But Lord, as we look to your word, we realize everything's falling into place, even the way your word ordains it. And so I would pray, Lord, tonight that we would approach this year with joy, because no matter what happens, we know you're in control. We know that you're faithful. We know, Lord, that there's nothing lacking in you, and we can put our trust in you. So we thank you for that, Lord. We bless you. We give you all the glory, all the honor that's due to your name, Lord. And this we thank you, we bless you, and we praise you. And this we ask in Jesus' name, amen. Well, you guys ready to do a little countdown? Bring in the new year. All right, here we go. It's about that time. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Yeah! Whoa.
Come on and praise the Lord with me. Sing if you love his name. Come on and lift your voice with me. He's worthy of all our praise. Come on and bring your offering. Oh, sing if you've known his grace. Come on and lift up your holy hands. He's worthy of all our praise. Yes, he is. He's worthy of all our praise. So worthy, Jesus. He's worthy of all our praise.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Boy, what a fun way to bring in the new year, singing praise to the Lord. And let's just continue to celebrate. Feel free to stick around, fellowship with folks. Hey, the night is young, so you can hang out. We have Cinnabon and eggnog to make sure your New Year's resolution doesn't last more than 20 seconds. So, man, may the Lord bless you, and may this year bring you great joy and peace and love in Christ. In Jesus' name, God bless you. You're dismissed.